Welcome to the show. I'm absolutely thrilled you are joining us today for a brand new custom-tailored deep dive.
Really glad to be here.
We built this specific conversation just for you because you are someone who likes to know how the gears of the world actually turn. And today, we are looking at the literal gears, wheels, and roads of America.
Yeah, the literal physical foundation of the country.
Exactly. Our mission today is to unpack this massive, truly fascinating report from Deloitte Insights. It's titled Transportation Trends 2025-2026, Modernizing America's Transportation Infrastructure.
It is a critical read. And sitting here in the studio today, I've actually changed our digital backdrop to this bustling sort of futuristic cityscape to set the mood.
I love it.
Because the stakes of this conversation are incredibly high. We're talking about the complete re-engineering of how society moves.
The stakes really are enormous because we are essentially looking at a perfect storm for the U.S. transportation system. On one hand, you have the American Society of Civil Engineers handing out grades of fare to poor for much of the nation's surface and aviation networks.
Right. The foundation is undeniably shaky already.
But then you look at what is coming down the pipeline. In June 2026, 11 U.S. cities are hosting the FIFA World Cup. That is over 5 million fans descending on a grid that is already struggling.
It's massive.
And right after that, the entire country celebrates the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. And then 2 years later, Los Angeles hosts the 2028 Summer Olympics.
It is a phenomenal stress test for the country. Now, the Department of Transportation does have a blueprint for change. They're focusing on safety, streamlining regulations, and finding new avenues for funding.
Right.
But to really understand where we are going, to see how we actually survive this stress test, we have to look at five deeply interconnected trends from that Deloitte report. These are not minor incremental updates. They are fundamentally rewriting the rules of infrastructure.
Okay, let's unpack this. Starting with the first trend, which is basically a giant math problem.
The money.
The money we traditionally use to fix the roads is vanishing. I was looking at the Congressional Budget Office estimates in your notes, and they project that federal gas tax receipts are going to plummet by 39% over the next decade.
Yeah, the numbers are stark.
That is a drop from $25 billion in 2025 down to $15 billion in 2035. That's a $10 billion crater in the budget. Why exactly is this happening so rapidly?
Well, the obvious answer people point to is the rise of fuel-efficient and electric vehicles. But it is actually much more complex than just what we are driving. It's a massive societal shift in how we work.
Oh, the remote work factor.
Exactly. The report highlights that remote work paid days jumped from 7.2% in 2019 to 27.7% in 2024. The proportion of people who do not have to commute at all increased by 8 percentage points.
Wow.
You are removing millions of daily commuters and their gas tax contributions from the road entirely.
That is a fundamental shift in behavior.
Okay.
And the policy landscape around vehicles keep shifting too, right?
It does. We are seeing changes at the federal level, such as the expiration or modification of certain EV incentives. When you alter those policies, it creates near-term ripple effects on car prices and adoption rates.
Makes sense.
Regardless of the politics behind those shifts, the factual reality for state transit agencies is that it creates immense volatility in the tax revenues they rely on to actually pave the roads. We are witnessing the slow death of the traditional user-pays model for infrastructure.
So if the old model is dying, how are states plugging this hole? I know there are a bunch of experiments happening right now.
States are getting highly creative out of pure necessity. The first major experiment is road usage or mileage fees. Four states right now, Utah, Oregon, Virginia, and Hawaii, are running pilots where you pay based on how far you drive rather than how much fuel you consume.
But practically speaking, tracking every single mile everyone drives sounds like an administrative nightmare.
Yeah.
How do you even enforce that without installing a GPS tracker in every citizen's car?
That is the exact struggle. The administrative overhead for a mileage tax is vastly higher than a simple gas tax, which is essentially just collected at the wholesale fuel level.
Right, you just tax the gas station delivery.
Exactly. So some states are trying low-tech workarounds to scale it without violating privacy. Utah, for example, is letting drivers simply upload photos of their odometers every quarter. Hawaii is linking the mileage check to their mandatory annual safety inspections.
Uploading a photo of your dashboard feels a little like going back to the 1990s, especially when we are about to talk about artificial intelligence.
It is definitely a stopgap. We're also seeing direct taxes on the electricity used to charge EVs in states like Georgia, Iowa, Montana, and Utah. But the strategy generating the most revenue and the most debate is congestion pricing.
I want to push back on this one a bit. I read the stats. London has been charging drivers to enter central areas. And in 2023, they made £431 million from it.
Massive revenue.
And New York City launched their program in 2025 and generated over $215 million in just the first 4 months. The financial results are undeniable. But doesn't this just punish people who have to commute for work, but perhaps cannot afford to live in the city center or near reliable public transit?
That is the primary criticism, and it is a highly valid one. The data out of New York showed some mixed traffic outcomes, specifically concerns about pushing heavy vehicle traffic and emissions into poorer adjacent neighborhoods like the South Bronx as drivers tried to route around the toll zones.
Right. People just drive through the free areas instead.
Exactly. It is a blunt instrument. However, from a purely financial perspective, even congestion pricing is not enough to cover the massive shortfall.
So what is the ultimate backstop if public funds aren't enough?
Public-private partnerships, or P3s. Private capital is stepping in to fund major infrastructure. Virginia has built a 65-mile network of express lanes using private partnerships.
65 miles.
Yeah. Georgia just picked a consortium for a massive $4.6 billion project on State Route 400. And Tennessee is rolling out choice lanes with dynamic tolling. The private sector builds and maintains the road, and they recoup their massive upfront investment through long-term toll collection.
The very concept of a public road is evolving into something entirely different. But let's transition to the second trend, because to manage all this dynamic tolling and mileage tracking, you need serious computing power. Transportation agencies are already collecting mountains of data from sensor feeds, GPS, and rider apps, but the report says AI is the key to actually unlocking it.
The data was always there, but it was historically locked in siloed databases. AI acts as the ultimate synthesizer. The Deloitte report categorizes AI's progression and transit into three distinct phases: mature, growth, and emerging.
I want to dig into how this actually works. Under the mature phase, I saw a note about the New York City MTA putting sophisticated dual camera systems on the inside of their bus windshields.
Oh, that's a great example.
Yeah. In just 2 months, they caught 9,700 lane violations and sped up bus commutes by 55%. But how does an AI differentiate between a legally parked car, someone making a quick turn, and someone illegally blocking a dedicated bus lane?
What's fascinating here is that it is not just taking a static photograph. The computer vision models analyze depth, distance, and time. If the system detects a vehicle in the lane, it tracks how long that vehicle remains stationary relative to the bus's movement.
So it knows if they're just quickly turning.
Right. It filters out the noise of normal traffic flow and only flags the definitive violations. That is the mature phase, enforcing rules and managing static assets. But the growth phase is where AI becomes predictive. A standout example is, again, from the NYC MTA, a prototype called Track Inspect.
What does Track Inspect do?
Instead of buying multi-million dollar custom sensor suites, they retrofitted standard smartphones inside regular subway cars. The phones capture the acoustic vibrations and audio of the track as the train moves at normal speeds.
Just standard phones.
Just phones. They send that unstructured data to the cloud, and AI algorithms analyze the acoustic signatures to predict where track defects are forming before they actually break. In their pilot, the AI correctly predicted 92% of the track defects that human inspectors later confirmed.
That is incredible. They just strap smartphones to a subway car and let the algorithm do the heavy lifting.
Exactly. And out in Redlands, California, they implemented smart signaling AI at just two intersections. By dynamically adjusting the lights based on real-time traffic flow rather than a fixed timer, it saved drivers 900 commuting hours in a two-month pilot.
Imagine getting that kind of time back.
Yep.
But I want to talk about the emerging phase. I saw the term digital twins in the report. Down in Florida, they are building a digital twin called Smart Metro. What exactly does it take computationally to build a twin of a city?
A digital twin is a highly complex virtual simulation of physical infrastructure. It ingests real-time data from traffic cameras, weather stations, and mobile devices. Computationally, it requires massive cloud infrastructure to run scenario models.
So they can test things before building.
Precisely. Before Florida pours a single ounce of concrete for a new transit route, they can simulate exactly how it will affect traffic patterns down to the individual intersection. Or model what a Category 4 hurricane flood will do to the evacuation routes.
It is like playing SimCity, but with real-world stakes. And this ties into the next frontier mentioned in the report, generative and agentic AI. I know generative AI is like the chatbots we use to write emails, but how does that apply to a Department of Transportation?
California's DOT, Caltrans, recently issued contracts to use generative AI to ingest and analyze thousands of pages of unstructured text from near-miss traffic incident reports. The AI parses the narratives to find hidden patterns that humans might miss, helping to dynamically reroute traffic around dangerous choke points. But agentic AI is the true paradigm shift.
Agentic AI. Break that down for us.
Generative AI will summarize a report for you. Agentic AI operates entirely independently. It has agency. It makes autonomous decisions to alter traffic flows, change dynamic toll prices, or trigger dispatch maintenance without a human pressing the button.
Letting an AI just run the physical grid independently has to raise some serious alarm bells, right?
It does. The technology can radically accelerate intelligent transportation, but the human oversight problem is the real bottleneck. You simply cannot hand over the keys to a city's infrastructure without absolute assurance of its safety, its interoperability, and its fail-safes.
Speaking of handing over the keys, here's where it gets really interesting. Trend number three, the reality of autonomy. For years, self-driving cars were always supposedly 5 years away. But the report makes it clear we are past the hype cycle. The autonomous vehicle, or AV, is officially here.
It really is.
Waymo is currently doing over 250,000 paid rides a week across cities like Los Angeles, Austin, Phoenix, and San Francisco. But I have to admit, there is still a deeply visceral anxiety to standing at a crosswalk and watching a car with no driver take a left turn right in front of you.
That reaction is entirely natural because it defies a century of human conditioning. And we must emphasize that autonomy goes far beyond robotaxis in cities. The heavy logistics sector is adopting this at a blistering pace. Down Austin, the Texas Department of Transportation is partnering to build a 21-mile autonomous trucking corridor.
How is an autonomous trucking corridor different from a regular highway?
They are embedding sensors directly into the physical road infrastructure to enable vehicle-to-infrastructure, or V2I, communication. The road itself talks to the self-driving trucks about upcoming hazards, traffic speeds, and lane closures.
That's fascinating. The road is talking to the truck.
Exactly. Globally, Australia is leading the charge in industrial autonomy. They are operating 927 autonomous haul trucks in their mining sector right now.
And it isn't just on the ground. The report touches on advanced air mobility, or AM. Alphabet's wing service has completed over 350,000 drone deliveries across three continents. They are dropping off packages with almost zero human interaction.
But this brings us to the ultimate constraint limiting autonomous expansion. It is not a technology deficit. It is a profound trust deficit. Despite millions of miles driven without a human, a 2023 survey by AAA showed that 68% of people are still genuinely afraid of AVs.
So how do you convince the public to actually get into a car with no steering wheel?
You start by solving real problems for the most vulnerable populations. You don't pitch it as a flashy tech toy. You pitch it as a lifeline. In Detroit, they launched the Accessibility D Pilot. These are self-driving shuttles specifically deployed for elderly and disabled residents, giving them free, reliable rides to doctors and grocery stores.
That completely changes the framing.
It changes the narrative from scary robot car to essential mobility tool.
That makes perfect sense. When the technology serves a critical community need, the fear melts away.
Exactly. We saw the same thing in Georgia with the Cumberland Hopper autonomous shuttle. It served 10,000 riders, and post-ride surveys showed 93% of them reported feeling safe during the trip. Exposure paired with utility builds trust. But, of course, that feeling of safety is incredibly fragile, which leads us directly into trend number four, the invisible threat, making all of this connected transportation cybersecure.
We've all seen those scam texts on our phones claiming we have an unpaid road toll, asking us to click a link to avoid a fine. The FBI received over 59,000 complaints about those toll-related scams in 2024 alone.
The scale of smishing is out of control.
But the report highlights that the threat is escalating way beyond simple phishing text messages into full-scale attacks on our physical infrastructure.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the transportation sector is experiencing a rapid convergence of information technology, or IT, and operational technology, or OT.
I think people generally understand IT, but explain the difference between IT and OT in this context.
IT encompasses the data, the software, the cloud servers, and the ticketing systems. OT is the physical hardware, the actual traffic lights, the rail switches, the dynamic tolling gantries, the ventilation systems and tunnels.
So the things you can actually touch.
Right. In the past, these domains were entirely separate. A hacker could steal credit card data from an IT system, but they couldn't turn all the traffic lights green because the OT system wasn't connected to the internet. Today, for these digital twins and AI systems to work, IT and OT are fully merged.
So an attack on the digital data can now create physical, real-world chaos.
Precisely. The wake-up call for the industry was the 2021 Colonial Pipeline attack. A ransomware infection in their digital IT systems forced a proactive shutdown of the physical OT pipeline, causing massive fuel shortages on the East Coast. And the threat landscape is accelerating exponentially. Between 2022 and 2023, malware attacks on Internet of Things devices surged by 400%.
400%.
Yeah. And meanwhile, phishing attacks specifically targeting transit organizations jumped 175% in just 1 year.
We are building these highly connected autonomous networks and putting sensors in the roads, which basically just creates millions of new digital endpoints for hackers to try and exploit. How do we possibly defend a grid that large?
The primary weapon we need is human capital, and right now we are facing a severe talent gap. The U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency estimates there are over 570,000 open cybersecurity jobs in the U.S. right now.
500,000 unfilled cyber jobs. That is staggering. How is the public sector addressing that?
They are getting aggressive with academic partnerships. The National Science Foundation is funding the CyberCorps program, providing full scholarships for students who commit to working in government cyber roles post-graduation.
That's a huge incentive.
Definitely. The University of South Florida just opened a brand new $40 million college dedicated entirely to cybersecurity and AI. And South Dakota State University has a totally unique partnership with the NSA. They are designated as a Cyber Education Center of Excellence, and their students actually earn academic credit by working directly on classified national security projects.
Working on classified NSA infrastructure defense before you even graduate is an incredible resume builder. But all the cybersecurity in the world won't matter if the physical roads themselves are washing away.
That's the hard truth.
We can secure the digital network, but the physical reality check is our fifth and final trend, future-proofing against Mother Nature. The U.S. interstate system is nearly 70 years old, and the report notes that nearly 39% of America's major roads are in poor or mediocre condition.
And climate change is rapidly accelerating the degradation of that aging infrastructure. In 2024 alone, the U.S. faced 27 separate weather disasters that each cost over $1 billion. And tragically, those events cost at least 568 lives. We also have to recognize the severe disparity in how these disasters impact communities.
You mean the urban versus rural divide?
Yes. Rural areas suffer disproportionately from infrastructure failures. According to the Bureau of Transportation Statistics, if a bridge is closed or has weight restrictions due to damage, the detour required is 1.7 times longer in a rural area than in a city.
Wow.
A washed out road in a rural community doesn't just mean a longer commute. It can completely cut them off from emergency services, hospitals, and food supply chains.
The stakes are life and death. Huh? I was looking through the proposed solutions in the report, and the material science innovations blew me away. I saw terms like the bridge in a backpack and 3D printed breakwaters. What exactly are these technologies?
The bridge in a backpack is brilliant. It was developed by the University of Maine's Advanced Structures and Composites Center. Instead of requiring massive cranes to haul heavy steel and concrete girders out to a rural site, they created a composite arch bridge system.
And it fits in a backpack.
Well, not literally a backpack, but it uses flexible carbon fiber tubes that are so light they can be packed up, driven to a site in a standard truck, inflated, and then filled with concrete on site. It is incredibly strong, faster to build, and unlike steel, it doesn't rust.
That is a total game changer for rural logistics. And the breakwaters.
They are utilizing massive 3D printers to create customized breakwaters that dissipate wave energy to protect coastal highways from storm surges. They are also deploying composite bridge girders designed to last over a century with almost zero maintenance. We are literally inventing new materials to fight back against extreme weather.
The physical innovation is amazing, but the report also highlights that resilience requires digital execution.
Absolutely. Agencies must use technology to anticipate the weather rather than just reacting to the aftermath. Michigan, for example, implemented a weather-responsive traffic management system.
How does that work?
By automating alerts, adjusting dynamic speed limits, and coordinating snowplow responses through centralized data during severe weather, they reduced weather-related travel delays by up to 67%.
But to achieve that level of coordination, you have to get off legacy systems.
Which is exactly what the Utah Department of Transportation, UDOT, is doing. They are actively transitioning away from legacy paper blueprints and manual filing systems to an AI-driven, cloud-based digital delivery model.
No more giant rolls of paper.
Gone. Every survey, every field design, every inspection is standardized in an interactive 3D digital format. By centralizing all this data, future projects won't have to start from scratch. They are building the fundamental data architecture required to create those digital twins we discussed earlier.
So what does this all mean? When you step back and look at the entirety of this Deloitte report, the biggest takeaway for me is that absolutely none of these trends exist in a vacuum.
They really don't.
You cannot have a functional fleet of autonomous vehicles if the roads aren't cybersecure. You can't have reliable roads if they aren't built with advanced weatherproof materials. And you absolutely cannot deploy any of this next-generation technology if you don't diversify how you fund it to replace the dying gas tax. All five of these trends are just different gears in the exact same massive machine.
They are deeply inherently interconnected. And this raises an important question for you to consider. As our transportation infrastructure becomes fundamentally digital, as we eventually rely on agentic AI to manage traffic grids, dynamic algorithms to set toll prices by the minute, and autonomous fleets to move us around, will freedom of mobility transition from being a fundamental public right to a subscription service?
That is a heavy thought.
Think about it. If the physical roads become an interconnected digital platform requiring data access and dynamic payments, what happens to the people who can't afford to log in? How do we ensure that modernizing our infrastructure doesn't inadvertently build invisible new walls around our most vulnerable communities?
That is a profound question and exactly the kind of thing we want you to mull over as you go about your day.
Mm-hmm.
When you are out on the road, look at the toll booths, the bus cameras, the EVs around you. It is all part of this incredible overarching shift. Thank you so much for joining us on this custom-tailored deep dive into the future of transportation. As always, keep questioning, keep exploring, and stay insanely curious.